And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph, and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Fiona shared with us earlier that story from the storybook. There's always room for a little one. And God is always saying there is always room for you. But there's always room for one little one more. And a couple of weeks ago, we announced the welcome arrival of Annika Eve van Tricht. It's her first morning here this morning somewhere. And so I just wanted to welcome Annika. I think she was born December the 5th. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your many blessings to us and the blessing of your Son given for us, that we would know life and joy and peace, your presence with us. And thank you for the way that your word, you have given your word and you speak to us through your word. As we look into this familiar passage again this morning, may your spirit be leading us and guiding us and helping us to be prepared, prepare ourselves for your ultimate coming, your second coming. So we commit ourselves to you and thank you for your word and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're all very familiar with the Christmas story of Jesus' birth. And in some ways, it's been sanitised into that of a fairy tale. A calm night when Jesus quietly enters the world with the angels singing melodiously in the background. We forget the pain of childbirth, no midwife, just the first-time dad without a clue of what to do, the unsanitary conditions, the stench of the stable, the heavens being rent open and a militia of warrior angels declaring the glory of God, and then Joseph and Mary being overwhelmed by total strangers wanting to gawk at their child. Maybe we're so familiar that it's become part fable, part legend in our minds. Some have sentimentalised it so much that it's become, they look at it quite in a superficial manner, counting down the remaining shopping days, stressing about all of the things that we've got to do before Christmas Day, whilst neglecting the reality of the nativity. And our songs this morning have helped to remind us that the baby that was born in Bethlehem is the same baby that grew up and died on a cross to save us, which brings us great joy today. Now, the shepherds were the first to receive the birth announcement. Grandparents didn't receive a phone call, and Mary didn't upload it on Facebook. Shepherds were told the news first. And I find that quite interesting, that the shepherds were told the news first. Luke doesn't tell us much about who they were, no adjectives to describe these shepherds. He simply says, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby. And this was a job that many had down through the ages performed, had endured, had enjoyed. It was a job which was that held quite some honour. Think of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, and of course David were all shepherds, and God calls himself a shepherd, and we are his sheep. And by the way, that's not complimentary. By the time we come to the first century, shepherding has lost its lustre. Shepherds made up the lowest class of people, coming in ahead, just ahead of lepers. In the Talmud, which is a collection of interpretations and insights from the rabbis, we read these words: no help is to be given to heathens or shepherds. Says a lot for the way shepherds were regarded in Jesus' day. So why would God choose to make such an important announcement to mere shepherds? After all, they were ceremonially unclean because of the nature of the work. They weren't allowed to be involved in any religious services. They couldn't go. They were isolated, they were often forgotten. Because their flocks needed to be moved around to find new grass and fresh water, they never stayed in one place for very long. And as a result, they were treated with contempt and mistrust. They were suspected of stealing from others and would confuse thine with mine. Their testimony was not allowed in court because they were so unreliable. Shepherds held no respect whatsoever. And so God entrusts the greatest message ever sent from heaven to a bunch of smelly shepherds. But isn't that just like God? Isn't that just like God, the way that he does things? He tends to work with the forgotten, the despised, the lowly. And Jesus said as much. It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. And he did. He worked with and called the sinners. He called the likes of Zacchaeus and Levi, prostitutes, the demon-possessed, strangers and Samaritans. Jesus came to seek and save the lost, the desperate. He came to proclaim good news to the poor, freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, and set the oppressed free. For God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. And a broken and contrite heart God will not despise. God is looking for humility. A contrite and broken heart. And so the Lord comes to the lowly, to those most undeserving, to the neglected, the marginalised, in order to show his power to save, but also to show and demonstrate love for everyone, for all people. Everyone matters to God. And the only announcement of Christ's birth goes out to a bunch of uneducated outcasts, but they are transformed. They're transformed from that moment on, never to be the same again. And of course, God sets us the example to follow. He sets us this example, to treat all people equally, all people equally, with dignity and respect, and remember that everybody needs a saviour. Everyone needs Jesus. Even those that you'd like to forget, and especially those that you would despise. So what can we learn from the shepherd's response? There's a few things we can learn. Firstly, they were attentive to their work, to their jobs. Luke says, there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over the flocks at night. Being a shepherd was a 24/7 job. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They were faithfully keeping watch. These shepherds were out in the fields. They weren't camped around a sheepfold. And they were being attentive to either thieves or wild animals that could come and steal and destroy their sheep. And so notice that God comes to those who were attentive whilst they're on the job. And God meets them right where they are. Likewise, whatever God has called you to do, be attentive. Do whatever it is with diligence. Paul says, whatever you do, work at it with your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. And I saw that last night with all of the volunteers at the Carols Under the Stars. So many diligently working for the Lord. That was such a blessing. Now, you might not think that what you do is all that important. You might not think that you're that significant. But Emmanuel, God with us, is with you. And he can shine through you where you are for his glory. And he wants to shine through you where you are for his glory, whether you're at school, whether you're in the workplace, whether it's to your neighbours, whether it's in the retirement village, wherever it is that God has placed you, he wants to shine through you to be light in the darkness. Secondly, these shepherds were in awe. They were awestruck. When suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared to them and the glory of the Lord shone around them, they were terrified and they were brought to their knees. And although in fear at first, this turned into a holy fear and awe, awestruck by God's power and his message. For God's Shekinah glory shone all around them and caused them to quake in their sandals. And whenever the invisible spiritual world breaks through into our visible world, we tend to fall apart because we become very aware of our own sinfulness, but God's holiness. And Peter had this response just a few chapters into Luke, Luke chapter 5, verse 8. He says to Jesus, "Get away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." I wonder, when was the last time you were in awe, awestruck? Do you marvel at the Messiah? Has it been a while since you hit your knees before him? But they are also drawn into awe as they hear and accept the words delivered by the angel. For this was good news. This was wonderful news. This is fantastic news. The best news. Indeed, it's news that brings them great joy. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." And the angel tells them that their Saviour has been born. Their Messiah, the long-awaited Christ, has been born. And although the appearance of an entire army of angelic warriors praising God would have added to their sense of awe, to hear thousands of angels declare in unison, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests." These words would fortify their acceptance of the message of that very first angel. If you're not sure about the whole army of angels appearing to the shepherds, I invite you to check out last week's message. It'll be on the net. But notice that the angel said, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. The good news is for all the people. However, he says, I bring you good news. And the shepherds need to get that news for themselves. And they do. They accept this good news. And this good news needs to be personal for every one of us. Have you accepted the gospel message and allowed the word of God to work in you? God's good news is a gift that must be received if you want to know joy and peace, goodwill, comfort, forgiveness, and eternal life. We have to personalise it. Now, having heard the good news, these shepherds then act upon it. They didn't just say, well, thanks for the good news, that's really great. See ya. No, they left their sheep unattended, and they went into town. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And the word hurried off means that they left with haste. They put on their skates and they didn't slow down. They took off. And when they found the stable, they found it just as the angel had said. And consider the irony of that for a moment. Smelly shepherds enter a smelly stable to find the most holy one lying in an animal's feed trough. Purity and holiness enters filth and corruption. God is with us. Purity and holiness still today wants to enter into filth and corruption and cleanse it. Now, many commentators point out the possibility that these shepherds may have been taking care of sheep that were going to be sacrificed in Jerusalem's temple. And this is why they would never leave their sheep. They would never leave them unattended, as these were to be without blemish. Here, they rush off to see this baby born to be the Christ who would save the people. They leave their sheep and they visit the Lamb of God, the perfect sacrifice once for all. You know, a millennium earlier, David kept watch over his father's sheep in these very same pastures, and now they see the Son of David being born in the city of David, the Lamb of God. But their actions were not confined to just that visit in the stable. Verse 17, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. They left that stable in the middle of the night and they went around town and they spoke to anyone that they saw, and they possibly went to those that they knew in town, knocked on the door and told them the news. They didn't hang around the manger because they knew that they were now the messengers of this message. And notice that the message that they shared had nothing to do with seeing such an amazing angelic display in all of its power and glory, but rather what they had been told about this child. That formed the message. And so it is that we share the good news with others about who Jesus is and what he has achieved for us. God might have done many more wonderful things for you personally, And they can be part of our testimony, but we always point people to Jesus and what he has achieved for us. Now, there's one further response that we see in the shepherds. Adoration. Verse 20, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all of the things that they had seen and heard, which was just as they had been told. These shepherds went back to their day jobs, back to their night job, but they went back praising and glorifying God. And for most of us, we are to rejoice in the Lord right where we are. We don't necessarily expect God to change our circumstances or our job, but he can change our heart. And that begins as we begin in praise and adoration, in worship. You see, the shepherds were changed forever by what they saw and heard, and you can be as well. If you follow their example, be attentive to what God has called you to do, but be attentive to his word. Be awestruck by God's love for you and accept the gift of his good news, his forgiveness and his presence, his peace and his joy that he wants to give to you. Act on what you know to be true. Live it out. And adore Emmanuel. Never stop praising God, adoring him. Luke wrote these words, Luke 2:11. Today, so that means right now, in the town of David, a saviour is one who forgives sins, has been born to you. Make it personal. He is Christ. He is the long-awaited Messiah. And he is the Lord. And if he is your Lord, he is your master, he is your king, he is your leader. And so is Jesus your saviour? Is he your Lord? Is he the Christ, the Messiah? Let's pray. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the birth announcements to the shepherd, that the shepherds were changed, transformed from that moment on. And thank you that you can transform us, and that it is your desire to make us to be more like Christ, more like your Son, to live out the fruit of the Spirit, to be people of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, goodness, faithfulness. You want to produce this fruit within us. And so thank you that you are always wanting to do what is good and best for us. And so we thank you for the gift of Jesus, your Son, and thank you that Jesus died on the cross to save us from the penalty and the punishment of sin, for granting us eternal life. And so we give you praise and thanks this morning, as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.